Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, August 23rd, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Followers of Prophet Walter Magaya facing rape accusations speak out.
As members of the church, we are actually praying for him, and we believe that if he is truly clean, God is going to judge.
Some suspected politically motivated people have defaced Robert Mugabe Way in Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo.
We woke up this morning to realize that Robert Mugabe Way has been changed to be Evolution Way, and I think it is the city council that has done that.
Rural teachers abandon a 200-kilometer protest walk following alleged threats by state security agents.
We have decided to call it off temporarily and resume it in Harare because of security reasons. Because Imrewa was threatened, right? So Imrewa to the next 20 kilometers that we tried to walk.
And ZANU-PF members walk out of parliament following a proposed motion to curb police brutality moved by an opposition lawmaker.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The arrest of Prophetic Healing and Deliverance Ministries, or PHD, leader Prophet Walter Magaya on rape charges last week has been received with mixed reactions by his followers and ordinary Zimbabweans. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
When Studio 7 visited the PHD Ministries premises in Harare's Waterfalls high-density suburb, there were a handful of followers who were praying in a fenced area that is commonly known by the church's congregants as the Holy Ground. However, security personnel at the church barred Studio 7 from interviewing followers inside the church building. Studio 7 interviewed some of the followers, including one who identified himself as Mildred Chakanyuka, outside the church building. Chakanyuka, who claimed to be living in Harare's Budiro high-density suburb, said Magaya has no case to answer.
As members of the church, we are actually praying for him, and we believe that if he is truly clean, God is going to judge.
But Mbare resident Nancy Gonese said the allegations being leveled against the prominent cleric cannot be dismissed, as he is exposed to a large number of women. Another member of the church, Zakaria Chibaya, said Magaya should exonerate himself in court if he is going to remain a member of PhD Ministries.
There are false accusations. They are accusing Magaya falsely, and I think it's up to God to defend him.
His sentiments were echoed by a PhD Ministries member who only identified himself as Zindoga. He claimed that Magaya's problems were politically motivated.
Part of it is being persecuted. On the other side, although he had some cases to answer against the courts, but he's being persecuted. They are doing it at the wrong time. He had some cases, like he had this case out of court settlement. One, he paid a lot of money and they knew, and they have got records. And he has got other cases. But this one, because he paid out of court, they know he has got some cases. Now they are trying to persecute him. They wanted to use that as their campaign gimmick, but he didn't play ball. And once you refuse to play ball with his NPF, they persecute you. Simple.
Chakanyuka said she believes Magaya is a powerful prophet who cannot stoop so low to allegedly rape a woman. Studio 7 failed to get a comment from Magaya, who was not answering his mobile phone, while his lawyer Everson Chatambuza was said to be in South Africa. Magaya attracted many followers in Zimbabwe when he announced that prominent Nigerian prophet Temitope Balogun Joshua of the Synagogue Church of All Nations, commonly known as Prophet T.B. Joshua, is his godfather. Since then, many people, including cabinet ministers and senior government officials, have been worshipping at his church. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Some unknown people in Bulawayo have defaced Robert Mugabe Way signpost and renamed the road Devolution Way as a form of protest against the government's failure to devolve power to provinces, a provincial enshrined in the country's constitution. ZAPU regional spokesperson Ipitule Maphosa dismissed the reports that party youth carried out the exercise, noting that only the Bulawayo City Council has authority to handle street names. Council officials declined to comment, saying they removed the defaced signpost and are carrying out investigations. Police declined to comment. Sources claim that the youth who conducted the exercise are linked to several parties and protest movements. People in the region claim that President Robert Mugabe's government has marginalized them since independence from British rule in 1980. Maphosa tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube they commend any form of protest likely to force the government to devolve power to provinces.
We woke up this morning to realize that Robert Mugabe Way has been changed to the Devolution Way. And I think it is the City Council that has done that. We know the City Council is the only authority that has the right to change from one name to another. So I don't know if it's called it defacing or anything.
But what do you think about this kind of protest?
There's no good protest, there's no bad protest. As long as people are registering their views, probably registering their displeasure with anything that is happening. But in this case, as we all know, we adopted a new constitution in 2018, and in that constitution there's a clause for devolution of power. Governance and power are supposed to be cascaded down to local levels. But it has been 3 years down the line, and we haven't had any of that being implemented. Chapter 14 of the new constitution, there's also no sign that anyone is willing to implement devolution of power. So it could be frustration by the residents, by the citizens, especially residents of Bulawayo, who badly need devolution of power for many reasons. So it is a way of registering their views. It is a way of naming what they feel is rightfully theirs.
At the end of the day, Mr. Maphosa, do you think that this kind of protest is going to have any impact in terms of influencing the government to actually implement a devolution of power to provinces?
Protests in Zimbabwe haven't yielded much of their intended results in the past, but of late we have seen the government bending to protest. We've seen the display campaign.
That was ZAPU regional spokesperson Ipitule Maphosa speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Bulawayo. Local government minister Xavier Kasukuwere was not reachable for comment.
We have an important programming change announcement. Effective Monday, August 29th, 2016, Studio 7 will stop its English program. However, English news on Zimbabwe will continue to be broadcast on VOA's English to Africa programs, Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday, and Nightline Africa, Saturday and Sunday. Studio 7 will continue programming in English on Live Talk, which has been expanded to one full hour. You will also be able to get Zimbabwe news on our website and Facebook. We will continue broadcasting in Shona and Ndebele Monday through Friday and on Saturday and Sunday, where we have expanded Shona and Ndebele programs to 30 minutes. For broadcast times and frequencies, please visit our website www.voazimbabwe.com. That's www.voazimbabwe.com.
The Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, or RTUZ, has called off a 200-kilometer protest march by its executive members from Mutawatawa in Muramba Fungwe District in Mashonaland East Province to Harare, citing alleged threats from state security agents and suspected ZANU-PF members. The 15-member team launched its march on the 15th of this month with plans to walk for 10 days, a distance of 200 kilometers, demanding several issues including salary increases and better education in rural areas. But Tandiwe Dube, who's the union's vice president, says they have been facing problems since day one when they were allegedly threatened with death by members of the dreaded Central Intelligence Office at Mutawatawa. This was after they tried to hand over a petition at the district education offices at the Growth Point. Dube tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that they will, however, still hand over their petition to the Minister of Primary and Secondary Education on the 25th as planned.
We have decided to call it off temporarily and resume it in Harare because of security reasons. Because in Mrewa, we were threatened, right? From Mrewa to the next 20 kilometers that we tried to walk, we were threatened and we could not get police clearance from Mrewa police station. And we were only given one day to get out of Mrewa. And when we tried to submit our petition to the DO, the DO was not present, but the one who was in office refused and called in three CIOs who came to sit whilst we introduced ourselves and tried to submit our petition.
How many kilometers had you covered out of the 200 kilometers?
We covered 120 kilometers. We only left with 80 kilometers to get into Harare.
You said you are going to resume the march.
Yes, on the day that we are supposed to get into Harare, we are going to march to head office and submit our petition, although we have not completed the other 80 kilometers due to security reasons.
But describing all what happened to you, how can you sum it up?
I can sum it up as that the state security agents that we have in our country, I think they need to be educated or they need to be taught or read or the Constitution read to them and explain what is stated in the Constitution.
That was RTUZ Vice President Tandiwe Dube on the phone from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Kwazana Member of Parliament Nelson Chamisa of the MDCT says he will continue moving a motion calling on the police to stop brutalizing peaceful protesters despite ZANU-PF lawmakers' move to walk out of parliamentary chambers today. This is the second time that ZANU-PF members have walked out of parliament following attempts by Chamisa to introduce the motion, which was sparked by alleged police brutality on some Zimbabweans who staged recent nationwide protests against the deteriorating social and economic situation in the country. Chamisa tells Studio 7 that his motion was aimed at stopping the onslaught against citizens.
Well, a very sad day indeed, in the sense that we were supposed to resume our debate on the motion on public brutality by the police. Again, today for the third day consecutively, we could not constitute a quorum on account of our colleagues from ZANU-PF having trooped out of parliament, out of the House of Parliament, just exactly 4:45, as a way of avoiding and circumventing the debating of this motion. It has become a tradition characteristic of our colleagues in ZANU-PF when they want to avoid a particular motion or some debate because they do not have issues, because they do not have legs to stand on, because they do not have a basis to defend certain indefensible acts. They just want to bury their head in the sand like an ostrich. But we are clearly insisting that in as much as we could not have quorum this day, today, we are going to insist and subsist as part of our struggle that the matter be debated, the matter be ventilated, the matter be resolved upon by Parliament. Well, there are certain fundamentals that are supposed to be dealt with, particularly putting in place legislative mechanisms, putting in place administrative mechanisms, and also putting in place oversight parliamentary mechanisms to make sure that will bring to account the minister, the commissioner general of the police, and the police in general as part of our oversight role in terms of the constitution section 119 of the constitution of Zimbabwe.
So what is the way forward? Are you going to bring this motion up again in the next session?
This is a struggle. Tomorrow parliament is again sitting. We will not tire. We are so determined. Persistence is the first chapter in the book of success and victory.
That was Kwazana Member of Parliament Nelson Chamisa of the MDCT in Harare. Efforts to get comment from ZANU-PF Chief Whip Love Moma Tuke were unsuccessful.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Mitom Wave and on the 4930 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Nigeria's Air Force today claimed to have fatally wounded Boko Haram leader Abubakar Shekau and several other high-ranking members of the group in airstrikes carried out against the terrorist organization's headquarters.
U.S. President Barack Obama is in the southeastern state of Louisiana, where historic flooding has ravaged most of the southern part of the state.
Opposition groups in the Democratic Republic of Congo called for a nationwide strike today, hoping to force President Joseph Kabila to hold elections and step down when his second term expires at the end of this year. As protests in Zimbabwe continue, it has now become common to see young Zimbabweans wearing graduation gowns and caps, staging their own protests over the high unemployment rate in Zimbabwe. The college and university graduates have taken to the streets questioning the ruling ZANU-PF government's promises of 2.2 million jobs during the run-up to the 2013 national elections. Some of these recent graduates are now vendors selling different goods to make ends meet. Statistics show that more than 85% of the country's population is unemployed, though official figures are pegged at almost 11%. For perspective, Studio 7 reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to Samuel Wadzai, who holds a master's degree in human resources management and director of the Vendors Initiative for Social and Economic Transformation.
It's unfortunate that we attained these masters, these degrees, but we cannot use them anywhere in our country because of the situation. But I must be able to commend the graduates because they have started within the organization that I lead. We have created that platform for those that graduated to be able to begin to discuss their issues so that, you know, they can begin to be entrepreneurs and start those small businesses. But we continue to encourage the government to ensure that the space is created for us to get employed.
But Mr. Wadzai, as we look at the current situation in Zimbabwe when it comes to unemployment, this issue has been going on for some time now. How do you think that this movement will assist, and what do you guys really want the government to do?
We expect the government to be responsible. That's the first thing. You know, they promised us to create 2.2 million jobs when they were campaigning during the election campaign period. It was part of the current government's manifesto that they were going to create 2.2 million jobs. So we expect them to do the same. It's unfortunate that there is no mention of job creation whatsoever now. What we are seeing are just fights, you know, for positions, people trying to strategically position themselves for succession and other issues at the expense of us who are jobless. So we have got a very responsible government. That's how we view it as the graduates of this country.
And that was Samuel Wadzai, director of the Vendors Initiative for Social and Economic Transformation. The Consumer Council of Zimbabwe says some prices of basic commodities went up following government's enforcement of a statutory instrument that banned the importation of some consumer goods. The introduction of the ban was met with stiff resistance from individuals and organizations who rely on cross-border trade, resulting in the government relaxing the law to allow consumers to import a number of goods. The law resulted in some organizations launching a campaign to discourage commercial activity at the country's borders. However, President of the International Cross Borders Association, Dennis Juru, said they have suspended their campaign because people can now bring into the country any number of items from outside the country. A regional spokesman of the Consumer Council of Zimbabwe, Comfort Machekeza, tells us Studio 7 that the consumer food basket had gone up by 0.09%, bringing it up to $567 per month.
The current food basket which we have right now shows an increase of 0.09%. It has increased to $567.91 as of end of July 2016.
What could be the main reason for this?
The main reason could be that on the 17th of June, the government gazetted the Statutory Instrument 64 of 2016. This statutory instrument restricts the importation of certain products. The whole idea was for the government in a bid to boost local industries.
Now, would you say that has helped the local industry, apart from raising the prices?
The whole idea was good. It was going to help raise the local industries. But the challenge we have is that some of the industries are even incapacitated at this time. And others, they also have a tendency when there is no competition, they also relax. So at the times, competition was helping the local industry even to gear up for international trade. We don't only want industries to operate in Zimbabwe, but we look at a way where they can even compete outside our borders.
Now, looking at the basket, which goods seem to have increased their prices?
The goods which seem to have increased their prices, tea leaves increased by 4 cents, mealie increased by 40 cents per 20 kg, salt increased by 3 cents per kg, washing powder increased by 20 cents per kg also, and the bar of soap increased by 6 cents.
We understand that the statutory instrument has been relaxed slightly. Don't you see this resulting in the drop of prices once again?
But not to that extent. It has been relaxed. I think it can serve mainly those who are in the border towns like Beitbridge and Plumtree. But for somebody from Bulawayo or Harare traveling across the borders so that you just buy goods worth a month, it cannot be feasible. Otherwise, the traveling expense will be even more expensive than just buying locally. About the goods which have increased, but we also have few other items which have dropped their prices. Things like cooking oil. We have one producer who has instead increased the price of cooking oil, but the majority, though they are small players, they have also reduced the prices of cooking oil. So we now have locally produced cooking oil, which is now cheaper than the imported one.
That was regional spokesman of the Consumer Council of Zimbabwe, Comfort Machekeza. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo.
And in sports news, Team Zimbabwe are returning home empty-handed from the 2016 Olympic Games. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us why.
The three Zimbabwean athletes who were left in Brazil in the last stages of the Olympic Games were a big letdown as they failed to finish in the top 10 of the marathon, with one of them failing to finish the race. The top placed Zimbabwean was Patson Lovu, who finished in 41st position, with Cuthbert Nyasango way behind in 58th position. Wilma Joao, who finished 7th at the last Olympic Games, failed to finish the race. Failure to finish the race is regarded as the biggest failure by any Olympic participant. While Ndlovu will cross to the USA, where he is based, Nyasango and Joao will return home to join the 10 other Olympic Games representatives and the Mighty Warriors to reflect on their failure. Although swimmer Kirsty Coventry and rower Michin Thorncroft reached the finals of their events, the rest were first-round dropouts evidence enough of the poor quality of athletes at Zimbabwe's disposal. The star of the Olympics, however, was Jamaican showman Usain Bolt, who won 3 gold medals in the 100 meters, 200 meters, and 4x100 meters for the 3rd Olympic Games in a row. Simon Biles of USA put up a stunning performance as she won gold in the women's vault, women's team all-round, women's floor exercise, women's individual all-round, and a bronze medal in the women's beam competitions. Now to football. There was celebration at Dynamos after Dimbare turned on the style to beat Harare City 2-0 and end a succession of 6 matches without a win. Dimbare were so dominant that they could have come out with a bagful of goals had they converted most of their chances. After the game, talk was on how good their team played instead of the usual "the coach must go" song. Coach Lloyd Mtasa says there was this big Dynamos winning spirit in his team that they fought for each ball and attacked as a single unit.
I think there was the Dynamos zeal of wanting to win every duel, wanting to go forward and wanting to beat Harare City for the second time.
Mutasa says the win over Harare City, coming after a loss and 5 draws, should be the turning point going forward.
It should be our turning point. I think we need consistency, and probably this win can only but motivate the youngsters going forward.
As is usual, Harare City coach Moses Chunga was evasive on the events of the day. 13 points. Border Strikers, 13 points. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when host of The Connection will be talking with listeners about jobless Zimbabwean graduates.
What do you think about this issue?
If you wish to join us, call us at 001-202-619-2077 or text us at 001-202-465-0318.
And please note that we're also live streaming on all our Facebook pages, so please go and like our Facebook pages.
If you live in a glass house, don't throw no stones. That is the music of Peter Tosh, bringing our show to an end. But before we go, a quick recap of today's top stories.
Followers of Prophet Walter Magaya facing rape accusations speak out.
Some suspected youths have defaced Robert Mugabe Way in Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo.
And ZANU-PF members walk out of parliament following a proposed motion to curb police brutality moved by an opposition lawmaker.
And that's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.